somebody's hand beside you tonight. Tonight.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in service tonight. I believe we've got Brother Matumba from North Carolina, pastor there. Good to have you with us tonight, brother, and greetings to you and the church there. And we've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight. Want to remember an unspoken prayer request for Brother Furman tonight. And Brother Joshua Johnson, he's having pain in his right hand. Want to remember him in prayer tonight. And my nephew's little baby, her name is Peyton. She's in the hospital due to some issues with liver function and some issues eating. So I want to remember her in prayer. She's just a couple months old. I want to remember her in prayer. And Sister Carol Reagan, she broke her arm, and she's having surgery Thursday. That's tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. to have a plate and several screws put in. So I want to remember her in prayer. And then Brother Gabe Bryant, he has a friend named Jim Clay. He's only 57 years old, but he's dying of lung cancer. So I want to remember him in prayer. We know that the Lord's more than able to come on the scene in these type of situations and heal. Amen. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Good evening, saints. I'm just glad to have Brother Furman home tonight. I am. He can sing about being homesick, but I'm glad he's home. But we got another home that we're going to. That's what we were singing about. It's good to have you back, brother. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this evening. Lord, we thank you for your presence that we recognize is here already, Lord. Not because of some emotion or feeling, even though that there is an emotion with it, but Lord, we're basing that upon your word. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will abide forever, Lord. And your word says that you gather here with us whenever we gather in your name. And that's the reason that we came tonight, Lord, was to meet with you. Wasn't to see each other, to be seen, but it was to come into the presence of Almighty God and have you touch our lives, Lord, and change us. Make us more like you, Lord, when we go out than what we were when we came in. We thank you, Lord, for your forgiving power. We thank you, Lord, for your keeping power. We thank you for your healing power, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you still fill with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we're under expectation tonight that the Holy Spirit's going to come down and satisfy our hearts this evening. Now we bring these requests to you, Lord. Each of these people, Lord, or Jesus, the different ones. Sister Reagan, Lord, with the arm that's broken, Lord, or Jesus. And Lord, the other ones that Brother Nathan mentioned, Lord, I can't remember them all, but Lord, you already knew about it. But Lord, you said to make our needs and our supplications known to you. So that's what we do tonight, is we bring them to you. And we let you know, Lord, that it's burdened upon our heart as well. And Heavenly Father, we're expecting to hear testimonies of your healing power, your saving power, your keeping power. We give you praise and glory now, and we just want to worship you in the remainder of this service and exalt you and lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time.
He wasn't looking at me. It was so black by sin. Oh, he was looking at the blood flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covers me. He wasn't looking at me. Oh, when he took me in, he wasn't looking at my heart. It was so black by sin. He was looking at the blood flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covers me. He wasn't looking at me. That was black by sin. He was looking at the blood flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covers me. One more time. He wasn't looking at me. Oh, when he took me in. And free, that precious blood that covers me.
Amen. What would we do without that blood tonight? Amen. This is 141. I think you'll know it though.
What can wash away my sin? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can make me whole again? Oh, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. Oh, that makes me wise.
Oh, nothing.
stand and sing it this evening. Oh, precious is that glow. Oh, that.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Oh, yes, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything, he's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Let's sing it again. He's everything. Oh, is he everything to you tonight? Oh, he's everything. He's everything to me. My father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. All one more time together. He's everything. He's everything to me. I know he's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me.
Amen. You love him tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing one more before the musicians go tonight. Oh, we are often tossed and driven on a restless sea of time. Howling winds, howling tempests, oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, singing by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of our God tell the story, how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Well, we are often destitute of the things that life demands. One of food, one of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. But we're trusting in the Lord and according to his word. Oh, we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, singing by and by.
on every hand. Seems we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. Oh, church, we'll understand it better by and by. We'll sing it by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of our God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome. Oh, yes, we'll understand. Better by and by. Oh, temptation's hidden snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed by some thoughtless word or deed. Then we wonder why this test when we try to do our best. Oh, but we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, yes, by and by. When that morning comes, when all the saints of our God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome. Oh, yes, we'll understand it better by and by. Let's sing it this way tonight. Trials dark on every hand, seems we cannot understand all the ways our God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. Oh, yes, we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, yes, by and by, Lord, when that morning comes, when all the saints of our God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome. Oh, we'll understand it better by and by.
Amen. What a comfort we have. Amen. We may not understand it all over here, but we'll understand it by and by. Amen. God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's hard, all the chapters in the Bible, but if I have a favorite chapter, it would be 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, amen. You just bear with me tonight if I get a little excited. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Let's say that last part together. The same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to approach your throne tonight, Lord, and Lord, with this thought that we've been looking at, Lord, I just ask that you'd come by our way again tonight, Lord. May you just visit us with your presence, Lord, already feeling you here in the worship service, Lord. And we just want to make you welcome, Father, whatever you would have us to do, whatever you would have us to say, Lord, help us to yield to you, Father. Lord, whatever you would have for this service, Lord, we want you to have preeminence in every way, Father, from the least to the greatest. Lord, may you just come down in a special way tonight, Lord, and encourage hearts. Lord, no doubt we all need encouragement. We all need a little help along the way, Father. We need some strength from the throne. And Lord, I just ask that you would come by and visit us again tonight, Lord. Give us what we have need of from your presence, Lord. And Lord, as we begin to look into the word, Lord, may you just, Lord, we understand that the scriptures, the quotes, Lord, it's all already anointed, Father, but may you come by and anoint us, Father, to receive it, Lord. May you not only anoint the speaker tonight, but may you anoint those that are present, Lord, not to just hear with physical ears, Father, or the auditory senses, but Lord, may we hear with our hearts, Lord, and receive what the Spirit is saying to the churches, Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. St. Paul telling us here that there's diversities of gifts. Everybody's not the same. Everybody doesn't have the same gift. Everybody doesn't have the same personality. We look at some people and we say, thank you, Jesus. And, you know, if we was all the same, it'd be a pretty boring place. If we all liked the same type of food and we all liked the same color and we all liked to do all the exact same things the exact same way, it'd get pretty boring. But we have to have a little bit of diversity. God is a God of variety, Brother Branham tells us. And I'm glad that, you know, as beautiful as flowers are, I'm glad that all flowers aren't purple. I'm glad they're all not pink or red or yellow or any specific color. But he's a God of variety. Even we look around, we see the different nationalities and those that have sprang forth from the different regions and the places that we lived and things. We're not all exactly the same shade of skin. We all of us don't have the same color hair or the same color eyes. And God is a God of variety, and he expresses himself in that way. Now, if he does that in the natural, then also Paul is telling us here in the spiritual that God is a God of a variety. He has a diversity of gifts, but yet in this diversity of gifts, it's the same spirit that's working through those gifts, whether it be the five ministering offices, whether it be the nine spiritual gifts. There's diversities of gifts. Every gift isn't exactly the same, but it's the same spirit working through those gifts. Maybe you have a gift in your life just to be an encouragement to somebody. Maybe somebody else, their personality and things, they want to be an encouragement, but it just seems like that's not what they're called to do. Maybe it's just easy for you to go out and just witness to people since you was a little kid. You didn't hardly know a stranger, and you'd scare your parents to death because everybody you'd walk by, you'd say hello to them, and you didn't hardly know a stranger. But yet in all those things, God was placing maybe a gift in your life to where you could have an opportunity to witness to somebody easily, that maybe somebody else shy and backwards and couldn't hardly get a word out, or maybe they stuttered real bad and they thought, well, how could I ever be a witness? And maybe they're witnessing just through the actions of their life, where you could go up and greet somebody and smile at them and say, oh my, it's so good to see you, and be an encouragement to him in that way. What is it? It's the same Holy Spirit, but yet he's working in different ways. Maybe God would lay it on somebody's heart to go and to take tapes into a region that maybe there's never been a tape or an SD card or something like that, way back into the jungles where you wouldn't have a bit more idea. You don't have the contacts to get back in there. You don't know the brothers to get in contact with to go there, and you wouldn't know where to start. You wouldn't know how to do it. But God lays it on some brother's heart. He doesn't care if he's got to get in a dugout canoe or if he's got to walk through jungle or swamp or what he's got to do. He sends him back in there, and he begins to take the tapes back into tribes and things. And here you are sitting in America, fat and lazy, and you think, oh my, what am I doing? But yet God lays it on your heart to give that brother maybe $1,000 to pay for his airplane flight. And you think, oh my, well, I didn't do very much, you know, not what he did, but it took your part to get him over there.
All right.
Maybe he didn't have the money to go, and maybe you were sitting there and had a little surplus and you said, oh my brother, God laid it on my heart to help you go over there. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit moving and leading and guiding in different aspects. It's not all the same gifts. It's not all the same works. We're not all the same personality, but it's one great body of Christ working together for the good of the kingdom. And there are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. And there are different diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now he goes on a little further in verse 12, and he says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body. Let's say that together. One body. Being many are one body. So also is Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not divided up into sections. And East Nathan doesn't fight West Nathan, and North Nathan doesn't fight South Nathan. And I don't get out of bed, and East Nathan wants to go this way, and West Nathan wants to go that way. And, you know, I just never get out of bed. I'd be going back and forth like this all day long because this side wanted to go there and that side wanted to go there. What is it? It's the same body. Brother Bram said this is a many-membered body of Christ. It's not just Church of the Open Door. It's not just New Albany or Jeffersonville or Louisville, Kentucky, but it's Zimbabwe, it's Asia, it's Europe, it's up into Canada, down into South America. It's a many-membered body.
Right.
And it's one body.
Oh, Brother Bam said it might be a disjointed body. He said it might be one of the sickest bodies that he had seen. Isn't that sad that the physical body of Christ on the earth, he would say, would be the sickest body that he had seen? Why is it? It's not God's part. It's the members of the bodies that's doing it, separating and dividing. And this one pulling this way and this one pulling that way. Well, I'd rather we do it this way. I'd rather we do it that way. And oh my, so disjointed. But it's supposed to be one body. Amen. Now, you know, my ears and my lips don't perform the same functions. In fact, they don't even like the same thing. I don't know about you. I've never went to a steakhouse and said, let me hear that T-bone. Let me just hear it. Oh, how I love to hear a good T-bone. My ears don't care nothing about that. But there's something about my tongue and my taste buds and my lips that they love that. There's something about they just love it. Oh my, just get there and my ears say, you're nuts. That doesn't do nothing for me. It's all part of the same body. I hope you preach with me tonight. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, Brother Branham, I heard him on a tape today. He said, you know, he said he loved his fingers just as much as he loved his nose, and vice versa. But yet, they performed a different function. They performed a different task. They were geared differently. I don't know if you've ever tried to pick up French fries with your nose, but I wouldn't recommend it unless you want to look like an idiot. But God gave us fingers to pick up our food and to do these things. But that doesn't make the nose less just because they don't perform the function of the fingers. It's part of the body. If you hadn't had that nose, maybe you wouldn't have been able to smell the hamburger or the French fries that was cooking in the other room for the fingers to go in there and pick them up. Now, you could sit there of a morning and lay there in bed, and you know, you wake up in the morning and that nose begins to smell those scrambled eggs and bacon and toast that your wife is cooking in the kitchen. And you know, your feet say, I don't care nothing about scrambled eggs and bacon and toast. And I don't want to get out of bed and go get those. And the nose says, oh, please. And the taste bud says, oh, please. But it, oh, my, it's right in there if we could just get the body to move. All right. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, or whether we be of this church or that church, whether we be of this city or that city, whether we be of this nation or that nation, whether we be of this race or this preference or that preference. And some, my, they come into a service and people are shouting and screaming and dancing, and oh my, they just feel the presence of God and they just love it. And somebody else come in and scare them to death almost. They just want something quiet and peaceful and reverent. That's all right. It's a many-membered body. Maybe one's geared this way, maybe one's geared that way, maybe one likes to run and jump, and the other one likes to just sit there quietly and raise their hand up to the sky and tears roll down their face. It's the same Spirit behind both of them, making them act in different ways. The problem is many times we compare our experience with somebody else. Well, my, I wish I could run and jump like Brother so-and-so. And here I just said, I never have had the urge to shout. I never have had the urge to run. But when the presence of God comes, I just slip up my hand and begin to cry. Maybe that's just how he deals with you. Maybe your personality, and maybe that's how he works on you. And maybe somebody else over there speaking in tongues, and maybe one, jumping up in the air, and another one screaming and shouting, and another one singing praises and hosanna to the king, and another one sitting over in the corner. You wouldn't even notice them hardly, sitting there just wiping the tears from their eyes, feeling the very same presence, the very same Spirit, baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free. Some of us, we love those worship songs when the presence of God comes and we get to singing something like Jehovah Jireh and we feel his presence come. Somebody else, that might not move them a bit, and you get to sing the old Rugged Cross or Near My God to Thee, and they just begin to feel his presence and lift their hands. Others of us, we like those good old fashioned Pentecostal songs where we begin to tap in our feet. Brother Bram said, like Elijah, or Elisha rather, when he got his dandruff all up and he had to have a minstrel come and play, he said they begin to beat the drums and he began to pat his foot and he began to get in the Spirit. I don't care what it takes to get you there. Let's just get in the Spirit. All right. Amen. It's okay to have your preferences. It's okay to, I prefer this style of worship service, and I prefer that. That's all right. We're a many-membered body. Amen. Everybody can't go to the Church of the Open Door. In fact, a lot of people, it would make them miserable and drive them crazy. But other people love it. Why? It's a many-membered body. Amen. One spirit. Are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? many of us, you know, well, I'm not the eye, I'm not the prophet. I'm not the feet. I'm not a missionary to go and take it somewhere. I'm not the hands. I'm not this. I'm not that. Maybe you was just the ear. Somebody had to sit and receive it and hear it. Amen. Somebody had to be there to receive what was being brought forth by those that went, by those that God called and sent. Maybe you was just the bottom of the feet, but you still over the devil. Maybe you was just the skin on the bottom of the feet, and you think, oh my, I don't amount to much. You still got one foot on the devil tonight. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, this is the key, as it hath pleased him.
Amen.
Oh my, I wish Brother Hoover would be different the way he does this and the way he does that. I wish he wouldn't do it that way. God made him that way. Oh, Sister So-and-so's personality, it just drives me crazy. And it's just like sandpaper against sandpaper when I get around them, and I can't hardly stand it. God made them that way. God made their personality that way. Maybe you can't hardly stand to be around them, but God would use their personality to attract somebody else to the message that maybe you could have never helped.
All right.
As it hath pleased him.
Amen.
Oh my, I wish I was a teacher. I wish I was some great doctrinal something. Well, you can't be unless God called you to do it. I wish I was this. I wish I had this position in the body. I wish I had this position at the church. I wish I had this title or that title. It'll never work unless God called you to do it.
Amen.
You're placed in the body not by your desire, not by your wants, maybe not even what it would look like to the outside world, what you would be the most qualified to, but as it hath pleased him. As we've looked at it before, if I would have been God, I would have sent Paul to those wise Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and those great learned men, because he was a great learned man. He sat under the feet of Gamaliel, and here he was, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a teacher of the teacher. Just made good common sense to send him to the Jews. And here Peter, ignorant, unlearned, couldn't even hardly write his name. It just made sense to send him down to the unlearned Gentiles, and God did exactly the opposite. Because it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but God.
Amen.
What God chose. As it hath pleased him.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm not qualified to do this. So you are if God calls you.
Amen.
And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary.
All right.
You ever get a paper cut on the very end of your pinky finger and you didn't think you needed that pinky finger for nothing, and then everything you touch, everything you go to do, everything you pick up, you recognize, oh my goodness, I used that pinky finger a lot more than I needed. Maybe you're one of the feeble members of the body. Maybe you're not the pastor. Maybe you're not the prophet. Maybe you're not even a deacon or a trustee or a song leader or a Sunday school teacher. And you just come in and sit on the back row and you don't think anybody notices you. But when you come and your lick of fire joins together and begins to pull on the gift that's there in the body, and my, the presence of God begins to come down, you slip up your hand and begin to worship God. And maybe you're just the tip of the pinky finger and nobody even recognizes you half the time. And then you miss a few services and people begin to call and say, Where was you Wednesday night? We missed you. We felt like we wasn't, you know, completely together, like we were missing a portion of the body. What was it? We recognize, you know, you don't have to have your name in lights to be part of the body. You don't have to be some popular something to be part of the body. You can be some little widow woman that, you know, maybe you don't do a lot of outward works that people would see, but maybe you just spend a lot of time in your prayer closet praying for the different churches and the different ministers and the different missionaries and praying for some of these young people that they would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe I keep stealing this story from Brother David, and one of these days he's going to use it himself. But he said when he got to a funeral, I believe it was your grandmother's funeral, and he said, one of his cousins came up to him. He said, David, he said, who's going to pray for us now? She's just a little old woman, but she was a godly woman, a prayer warrior. He said, who's going to pray for us now that she's gone? She wasn't some great something, didn't have some worldwide ministry, didn't have her name in lights. A lot of people maybe never even knew her, but her grandson says, who's going to pray for me now? What was it? A part of the body missing. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. I want you to recognize tonight, whether the devil will admit it to you or not, whether he would ever want you to actually say this with your lips yourself and confess it, you're important.
Amen.
I don't care who you are tonight. You might be the oldest, you might be the youngest, you might be the smartest, you may be the dumbest. I don't care who you are, what your education level is, what your natural ability is, what your talents are. You're important tonight. God made you, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the devil would like to beat you up and tell you that you don't matter. But I want to remind him tonight that the prophet of God said, when the weakest of Christians, you say, oh, I'm just the weakest in the church, Brother Nathan. Not only that, I'm the weakest in the state. I'm the weakest in the country. I feel like I'm the weakest in the world sometimes. That's okay. Our prophet taught us that when the weakest of Christians gets on their knees, Satan begins to tremble. So you're anybody that can make the devil tremble is important to me. Anybody that can make the devil tremble is important in the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. They may not be famous, they may not be world-renowned, but they're important in the body of Jesus Christ. Anybody that can make the devil tremble, I'm for. Amen. I don't care whether they're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal or a Jehovah Witness or whatever they are. You say, oh, surely not, Brother Nathan. You know, you think there's going to be people there that's not part of this message? Absolutely. Not in the bride, not in the rapture. But when we get over to heaven, I believe there'll be millions times millions that never even maybe knew about God sending a prophet, but yet they believed and lived all that they saw, and maybe they was kind to somebody that was in the bride out here without even knowing that they were part of the bride, and God will grant them eternal life, not on every little thing that they did, but on how they responded to the word that they received. How much greater responsibility do we have, and the weight of knowing what we've received? He's going to hold us accountable for that. Oh my. Brother Branham, you look at his attitude towards people. He said, you know, anybody that named the name of Jesus, he was for. Anybody that was trying to do something, he said, I'd rather be found out on the field making mistakes than to be held accountable trying to say something against a man that's trying to get souls saved. That was his attitude. I heard him on a tape today, Faith in 1953. He was talking about how when he was there in Chicago for the meetings that week, and he had went down and he said the Lord showed him something that Gordon Lindsay had done, and that he was trying to get somebody else to throw it off on him, and he said he was supposed to be at some meetings there, but he had promised Brother Matson Bose that he would preach at his church. And so the Voice of Healing editor, Brother Gordon Lindsay, and the different ones, the Voice of Healing that was organizing these great meetings, and they was going to have several different great evangelists. Brother Branham named a few of them there on the tape, and different ones that Velma Gardner, I think, and a few different ones that was going to be speaking there. And they, when they got word that he was going to preach for Brother Bose, they got word to Brother Branham and said, if you're going to preach for him, you can't preach at these meetings for us. So you've got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. Don't think that died back there in the denominations. That's still right around the message. Amen. And it's not just in the United States. It's in Haiti and Africa and everywhere you go. If you preach for the guy on this side of the street, you can't preach for this guy over here, because they argue with one another and don't see it the same way. He said, "Oh my." He said, "Well," he said, "I already promised Brother Brose that I'm going to be at those meetings." Here, this one little bitty church, one little bitty pastor that was a friend of his, and this great organized meeting that was going to have all kinds of people from all kinds of different denominations. And he said, I told him, I said, I'm sorry. I already promised Brother Brose I'd be there, and I'm not going to go back on my word. I'm going to keep the appointment. Jesus kept his too, you remember. And so he goes down there that night to the meeting, and he's sitting there anyhow. And he gets there about 45 minutes before service, and he's sitting back in the room, and he was supposed to preach that night. And a man comes out and said, "Brother Branham couldn't be here tonight." Knowing he was sitting right there. They had somebody else preach that night. Why? Because of politics. I hate politics. It creeps right in around the message, but I hate that stuff. Oh, you got to pet this guy's back if you want to go here, and don't preach for this guy over here. You can't go there, and don't mention this brother's name over the pulpit, or this brother won't have you, and all these different things. Baloney. That's the devil. That's the devil. I don't care where it's coming from or who's saying it. I'm not calling them the devil, but it's the spirit of the devil working through them, because this is a many-membered body of Jesus Christ. It's not a divided body. It's not a torn asunder body. It's not this part of the body fighting this part of the body. It's a many-membered body. I believe in drawing the circle bigger. I know that's not popular in this age, but that's what the prophet did. That's what the Lord Jesus did. They're my examples, not somebody else. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now, here he has this opportunity to preach at this great big convention, but this one little brother down here, he sees him. Maybe his church is smaller. Maybe he's not as popular. Maybe he's more feeble, but he's necessary. Right. He's a part of the body. And he keeps going back there to Brother Bozay's over and over and over. There he sits. In the back of the room, they come out and say, "Brother Branham couldn't be here tonight." Why? Because of dirty so-called Christian politics. And they let him sit there in the back room. And he said his wife, she told him on the way home, she said, "There was this little boy walking down through there, sick and crippled up. Said he just looked so discouraged because he was expecting Brother Branham to be there. And he was there, but they wouldn't let him come out on the platform." Oh, I believe God looked down through all that. I hope. Brother Hoover, that little boy got healed, regardless of their politics. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." I want you to read your name in there tonight. Ye are the body of Christ, not somebody else. You, make it personal to you tonight. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now, we look many times at, you know, this part of the body or that part of the body. We think, "Oh my, I wish I could be like Brother so-and-so. I wish I could go to all these countries, and I wish I could do all that he does. I wish I could do this, and I wish I could do that." You're part of the body. Maybe you're just a toenail or a fingernail, or maybe you're just an earlobe. I don't know what you are tonight, but if you're part of the body, you're necessary. Amen. Because when God creates a body, when he created your body, he didn't just put a bunch of junk in there and say, "Well, they don't really need all this and they don't really need all that, but we're just going to throw it in there because we got some spare parts." But the parts that are your parts, whether it's a lung, whether it's a kidney, whatever it is, you need that. You might be able to go on with one kidney and not have the other, but not as good as you could with both of them. Right. You might be able to go on and function without with a missing finger or a missing toe or a missing ear like the high priest servant there, but not as good as he could before that he lost those things. To function correctly, God placed everything in us that we needed, and he had it there for a purpose. Now, you may have the biggest, ugliest nose in your family, but you'd sure miss it if it was gone. Right? Whatever it is, maybe there's a part of you that you just absolutely hate. Maybe you've got big old knobby elbows and knees, and you just think that you look awkward, but you'd miss those elbows and knees if they were gone. Spoken word is the original seed, 1962. The seed of Christ must, and then he spells it out, M-U-S-T, must come through his body. Now he said, Paul said, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. The seed of Christ must, M-U-S-T, must come through his body. Not through denomination, but through a born-again seed of the word must come through. Now remember, what is it? Christ's seed. How does my seed come? Through my body. How does the apple tree seed come? Through the body. Seed, he says, seed is through the body. And the church is the body of Christ. Is that right? The congregation says amen. The Bible church, the birth produces, that's the new birth, himself in body. Seed is through the body, and the church is the body of Christ. How did you get in this? How did you hear about this? Oh, maybe you heard about it on a radio station. God had to use somebody to put it on a radio station. How did you hear about it? Oh, somebody had thrown down a book somewhere, and I picked it up and began to read it, and I couldn't put it down. Somebody had to print that book, and somebody had to get that book there and place it there where you were going to be at the right place at the right time. It came through the body somehow. How did you? Oh, I heard a brother tell me a while back. He said, I think it's good for these young people to have ministers. He didn't feel like he needed one anymore because he'd got old enough and wise enough and smart enough. He didn't think he needed one. But he said, when we first came to the message, there was a minister that really helped us. I thought, well, praise God. What was it? God working through the body.
Amen.
God working through the body. God always works through the body. He has always worked through the body. From Adam all the way down, he's still working through the body tonight. Amen. How did you get here tonight? Maybe somebody witnessed to your grandfather. Maybe it was your father. Maybe it was you specifically. How did you get into this? Somehow it came through the body somewhere.
Amen.
Seed is through the body, and the church is the body of Christ. Is that right? The congregation says amen. The Bible church, this birth produces, that's the new birth himself in body. His church is his word, so the people can see the confirmation of Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, you believe it.
Amen.
Again, spoken word is the original seed. Although an angel directed, he's talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember Philip, here he was up in Samaria, having a revival, thousands of people there, and he leaves this revival and he goes down to one little person, an Ethiopian eunuch. You mean God would do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. God doesn't always look at numbers. He doesn't always look at dollars. He doesn't always look at popularity. He looks at the seed. Is there a seed there? As I've said before, I'd rather preach to 10 people that were really behind me and pulling and working with me and amen, brother, and right there with the word than I would to 50,000 that was against me.
Man.
I'd rather preach to one predestinated seed than to 500,000 serpent seed. What is it? He didn't just look and say, well, it's a bigger crowd over here, but he leaves that and he goes to this one Ethiopian eunuch. But Brother Bram said from that one Ethiopian eunuch, he went and spread it all through Africa. What was it? A seed, a part of the body, and it continued to work through the body. He says, although an angel directed Philip to him, but the germ of life had to come through the body, Philip. You remember, this is how it came to Paul. God didn't send an angel down and pray for Paul, but an angel comes and he tells a man, he says, there's a man by the name of Saul down here. He says, oh yeah, I've heard about him. My, he's a rough guy. He said, yeah, but he's my predestinated seed. And I've got to send a predestinated seed to go get my predestinated seed. That was why Jesus had to go by Samaria. He said, I have needs to go by Samaria. Brother Branham said, there was a little prostitute down there that was a predestinated seed. And he sends a predestinated seed and goes and gets a predestinated seed. There sat Saul, blind, smote down with a pillar of fire, but he sends a member of the body down to go pray for him.
Right.
The germ of life had to come through the body, Philip. Ah, he says, oh, brother, now we're on the line. Where did the germ come from? Through the angel? The angel showed him where to go. An angel is a messenger. Here is a son. Philip had the germ, the message, the word. You say, oh, no, Brother Nathan. No. Only the prophet had the message. No, only the prophet gave the message. But now the message, I don't want to, you know, offend you or upset you or scare you tonight. I believe it's in book form and tape form. But if it just sits there in book form and tape form, it's not going to ever do what its intended purpose was to do. Just like your vehicle. It can sit there and look nice and pretty in the garage, but it's not going to do any good in the garage. But when you get in it and you turn the key and you begin to pull out of the driveway and it takes you to church or takes you to the grocery, now it's an action. Amen. It's wonderful to have it in tape and book form and to say, I have the message. I'm in the message. It's okay to be in the message, but it's more important for the message to be in you. Amen. There's a lot of people that have been in the message and around the message and know the message and believe the message supposedly, and it didn't do them any good because the message never got in them. But once the message got in them, then it wasn't just the word on book form. It wasn't just the word in tape form. It was the word in flesh form, the word made manifest. He said Philip had the germ, the message, the word. Now Philip didn't bring the message. Philip wasn't the messenger. Philip didn't bring it. He didn't produce it. He didn't receive it directly from God, but he had the message, the word, because the message and the word was in him, and he was a germ. He was a seed, a predestinated seed. He said that's how a child can be born. Philip laid hands upon him. Philip baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. There come forth the Spirit of God, sure. Now the germ had to come from the body. What body? Christ's body. Amen. Correct. And Philip was a member of the body. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I'm not very qualified. I can't quote it like some of these brothers can. I'm not very qualified to do this. I'm not very qualified to do that. Brother Bam said every Christian has a right to baptize. Every Christian has a right to pray for the sick. So if those are the only two things you're qualified for, at least you're qualified for those two things. Go do that to the best of your ability until God calls you to something else. Pray for somebody. Encourage somebody. Witness to somebody. It's got to come through the body. Amen. Can you imagine if you laid there day after day, week after week, your wife said, honey, come on now. That's enough. It's been 3 weeks. Get up. Get out of bed. Go to work. We got to hit some food for the kids and some clothes. Nope. I'm just going to lay here. But you're a part of this family. You're supposed to be the provider. You're supposed to be this. You're supposed to be that. Nope. I'm done. I'm just going to let God do it. God will work it out. Who he's predestinated, he's predestinated. Who he's elected, he's elected. There's no need in sowing seed. There's no need in doing this. That's extreme Calvinism, and that's anti-word. Amen. That's right. God did predestinate who he would predestinate, and he did elect who he would elect, but he sent somebody through the body to spread the seed, to pick up those predestinated. And some seed fell among stony ground. And they didn't last very long. They got offended real easy when somebody called them a Branhamite or somebody said they was following a man. They got offended and they fell away. And others fell among, you know, sandy ground, and it couldn't get a real good root. And when the sun came up and beat down upon them, a little persecution came, and they began to talk about us on the internet and on WHS-11. They began to fall away, and some fell away for this and some fell away for that. Some of them, when they went out and cast the net, Brother Bam said some of them, they brought back snakes and turtles and serpents and all kinds of different things. But there was some fish that came back with that too. And some of that seed that got sown, it fell among good ground, and that type of seed, it brought forth 100-fold. What does that mean? That means you witnessed to one, and they witnessed to 10, and they witnessed to 100, and they witnessed to 1,000, and the body just begins to pick up momentum. The germ had to come from the body. What body? Christ's body, correct. And Philip was a member of the body. Now listen, the same thing took place in Acts 10:48. Peter was on the housetop. An angel directed him to Cornelius' house, but where did the word come from? The body. He says, oh, I feel pretty good. Feel like traveling on. An angel come and said, don't worry. Don't call nothing unclean. Just go on. Don't think nothing. And while Peter spake these words, not the angel, not the cardinal, while Peter spake these words, what? He was the body. He had the word.
Amen.
The word took hold. Oh, brother, woo, huh? Oh, my, he says. Angel directed it, but the life come through the body of Christ.
Amen.
How many times do we sit stagnant and the Spirit of Christ trying to reach somebody and he can't because we're sitting in a recliner somewhere, tucked back, isolated from everybody. Oh my, we're afraid we'll get worldly cooties from this one or that one, and we won't go out here and rub shoulders with the world. I thank God the early apostles weren't like that.
Amen.
We're just going to stay right here at Jerusalem. We don't want those Gentiles cooties and those Samarian cooties and these cooties and those cooties and these people over here. Goodness gracious, they're worshiping a woman god, Diana. I'm not going to get near them. They went out there and boldly preached the gospel.
Amen.
And let their light shine. Spoken word is the original seed again, 1962. And the government shall be upon his what? The congregation says shoulder. He said, that's part of his body. My, that's his body, is it? They said, amen. His shoulders is his body. Where's the government on the earth? In his body. Saints shall judge the earth. That right? The congregation says, amen. Paul said, I dare you go to court with one another and not take it before the church. Right, see, saints shall judge the earth. Where is the government going to be upon? Upon the shoulders, his body. The government upon his shoulders, that's a part of the body.
Amen.
What is it? His earthly strength. God's earthly strength is his word made flesh in his body here on earth, bringing to pass. Now, you may not feel like very much. Maybe you're just a burden bearer. That's all right. That's the shoulders. Maybe you're just somebody that, oh, my, when, as Brother Bam says, the expression goes, when the chips are down, you're there. When everybody else, you know, oh, my, it's there's too much snow, there's too much rain, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too this, it's too that. I work too hard, I'm too tired, I'm too sick, I'm too this, I'm too that. But you go to church anyhow. What is it, a burden bearer? Somebody that when everybody else is busy and there's somebody in need, it's okay, I can put aside what I'm doing and go help the person. A burden bearer. Hey man, we got to have those. It's part of the body. Everybody can't maybe be that, but it's part of the body. The shoulders, the strength of God here on the earth. He said it's the part of the body. All of these things is a part of the body. You say, oh, well, we don't need brother so-and-so. He doesn't see it our way. Well, time tarries. You might recognize you need brother so-and-so a whole lot more than you think you do. Oh, my brother. You know, I sure am glad brother so-and-so stopped coming to the church. I just knew he was going to be a thorn in the flesh the whole time. But you know what? We might need those you know, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and this one, that one. Amen. Don't just let them run off and say, well, you know, they went out from us because they wasn't one of us. That's one scripture. Amen. Brother Branham also said, he said, I went after that brother and brought him back. Amen. Some of them you can't bring back. You can't beg them and plead them and all those things. No, God don't expect you to do that, but he expects you to extend a little bit of love and not just say, phew, thank God that they're gone.
Amen.
This is still on, right, Brother Hoover?
Amen.
I have heard, but now I see 1965. They organize, he's talking about the denominations. They organize, they kill themselves. There's where they die. Their stalks. But the wheat has come up through there, and now it's begun to form in the bride form. Now, all these others, it was stalk. It wasn't actually a part of the wheat, but the wheat had to come up through that. Maybe you had to come up through a Pentecostal church or a Methodist church or a Baptist church or a Nazarene church or some type of oneness or Trinitarian or whatever it would be. And you came up through that and God calling and brooding. And maybe you couldn't have just accepted this right off the boat of, you know, being an alcoholic or being a drug addict or something. This was way too supernatural for you. So God in his wisdom brought you along gradually. And you know, some brothers, you hear their testimonies and they went from this church to that church, from this denomination to that denomination, and you could see God was just slowly stepping them up a little higher, stepping them up a little higher. You say, oh, I don't think God would do that. I don't think that, you know, they say that today about Brother Branham. They say, oh my, if he was a prophet, he wouldn't have come out of no Baptist church. Well, I guess, you know, Paul, he, you know, surely he wouldn't have came out of that Pharisee denomination. He would have just been born right into it, right out of the mother's womb. He would have said, here I am, I'm the messenger. People, you know, they run this a lot and they don't even know their Bible. They don't even think their entire thought process out. They just get something that pops in their head and they say, well, here's what I think. Well, I don't care what you think if it doesn't match what this says.
Amen.
Amen. I'll take what this says right here. Oh, here Paul was, came out of an old Pharisee church, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, messenger of the age. He had to come up through that stalk, but when it came out, it was wheat. It came out in bride form. Invisible union of the bride of Christ, 1965. Can't you see where we're standing? Life is in the grain again. What is it? Just exactly like the same grain that went in the ground, the same Jesus in the bride form. Same power, same church, same thing, same word. Now we know that when he was here in a flesh body, they didn't accept him, they rejected him. They called him Beelzebub. He said, if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more those that are the servants of the house, those that are the children, how much more would they call them Beelzebub? When he was here in a flesh body, they took him and they rejected it and they crucified him publicly. Then when he came through the prophet in 1963 in the indictment, he said, I indict you for crucifying him again. What was the? How was they crucifying him? They weren't taking him out and tacking him to an old rugged cross out here in a physical body. They were crucifying him in word form. Well, I don't know about you, but twos aren't very spiritual. But now in this age again, they're crucifying him again in bride form. They're crucifying him again. The same Lord Jesus, not his physical flesh body of his humanity when he was here on the earth. They crucified that 2,000 years ago. Not him through the mouth of a prophet as the word. That was Christ also. They crucified that. They rejected it back in 1956. America did. Turned away from the word of God. They crucified the word publicly. They crucified it in their denomination. Said, oh my, you know, he's under the anointing when he's in there in the prayer line. But don't you believe what he's teaching? They crucified the word publicly. And now what is it? The bride form. Jesus, he said, the same Jesus in the bride form, same power, same church, same thing, same word, and they crucify him again in bride form. How? Well, they don't go to our church, so I guess they're just out. Don't think that just happens in this area. Don't think that just happens at one or two churches in this area. Don't just think that happens in Jeffersonville or New Albany or Louisville or Sellersburg or Charlestown or wherever. This Satan has injected this around the message around the world. You don't see it our way. You don't go to our church. You don't believe it the way that we do. You're out. And we'll draw a circle and not fellowship with you. There's a lot of brothers that have got themselves out on a limb and it was there four and no more. And now three of those have left them and it's just them standing. They can't get back because they burn all their bridges. And they sit isolated and alone and don't have fellowship. Why? Because they crucified Jesus Christ in bride form. Anybody that didn't see it just the way that they saw it, oh my, they're out. Well, I'm glad my God's bigger than that.
Amen.
I'm glad he didn't give up on me when I didn't see it his way. I'm glad he didn't give it up on Paul when he didn't see it his way. I'm glad he didn't give up on Samson and Jephthah and Barak and David and the different ones when they weren't just exactly where he wanted them to be. I'm glad that his love for them was bigger than that. And here they came and they crucified him in the flesh and then they crucified the word. But today in bride form, Brother Branham said that there's Christian Holy Ghost filled people in every church. Didn't just say message churches. There's good Christian people out here in some of these denominational churches. And sadly, a lot of us message folks would probably rather fellowship with them than some message people because they go to, you know, oh my, they belong to this group. You know, they believe it that way and they've got this label and they've got this and they've got that. You better be careful. There might be some bride in there that you're crucifying in bride form. The same Jesus in the bride form. Same power, same church, same thing, same word. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If we would remember that last part right there, we'd be a whole lot better off. Amen. We have seen just in the last few months a whole lot of miracles. I'm not talking about something worked up or made up. I mean absolute scientifically doctor-approved miracles. We've seen x-rays and we've seen reports and we've seen different things that God has done. I can't take credit for one of those things. No offense to Brother David or Brother Arnie or Brother Layton. They can't take credit for one of those things because without him, we can't do nothing. Now, we may have been the ones that applied the oil on the forehead, and we may have been the ones that laid the hands on the body, and we may have been the ones that he used our lips and our tongues to speak the words of healing over the people, but without him, we can do nothing. Amen. Without him, let me take it a step further, without him, we are nothing. Amen. We can't take credit for one good thing that is done here. The only thing I take credit for is that I've tried to create an atmosphere. Amen. That's what we do. That's what Brother Furman does. That's what Brother Hoover does. That's what these other minister brothers do. We try to create an atmosphere to where he can be welcome. And then once we get him here, there ain't nothing we can do. Amen. It's not anything we can do. We can't work it up. We can't jump it out. We can't shout it out. We can't do all these different things. If he moves in that way, that's wonderful. But I don't want it to be just a work up or an emotion. I believe God works through emotions. Brother Bram said, if your religion don't have any emotion buried, it's dead. But it's got to be more than just an emotion. It's got to be a quickening power, the Holy Ghost working. How does he do it? Through the body. What did we just read a few Sundays ago? Brother Raymond said, they say, I don't need no teacher to teach me. The Holy Spirit's my teacher. He said, then why did the Holy Spirit set teachers in the church? Right. He works through the body. Yes. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Jehovah Jireh, 1957. He says, God is the same Jesus. Sorry, God is the same. Jesus is the same. He works the same. He lives the same. He acts the same. He acts in you as he would if he was here on earth. Why? Because you're his body. You're the physical representation of Jesus Christ on the earth. Brother Bram says it over and over and over. We'll look at it a few of them tonight if we don't run out of time. If not, there's always next Wednesday night with the help of the Lord. Or if he comes before then, praise the Lord. We'll know all about it anyhow. But he has no lips but our lips. He has no hands but our hands. Has no feet but our feet. Why? Because you're the physical representation of Jesus Christ here on the earth. How? In bride form. He said, how are we going to see Jesus? How we see him in one another. We see his attributes. When I see a brother in need and I see another brother step up and help that brother, whether the brother needs prayer, whether he needs financial help, whether he needs encouragement, whether he just needs some fellowship because he feels just like he's isolated and alone, and I see other brothers and sisters begin to step up and to fill that void in the person's life, say, oh my, I was destitute, I was lonely, I was thirsty, I was hungry, I was in prison, I was sick, and they visited me, all these different things, and you see members of the bride of Jesus Christ begin to step up into these positions and help out the brothers and sisters in need. What is it? He's acting the same in you as he would if he was here on the earth.
Amen.
And what did he say? Ye are the vine. Is that right? I just wanted to see if I could catch you on it. Ye are the what? Branches. I am the vine. That's the way Brother Bram said it there. He said, now the vine doesn't bear fruit, does it? Uh-oh. The vine doesn't bear fruit, does it? Who was he talking to? The church. I am the vine. You are the branches. The branch is energized by the life of the vine. Now, it's not the vine that bears fruit. It's the branches that bear fruit. But if the vine's not there, then the branch is just dead and there won't be any fruit. So it goes right back to, I'm the vine. You're the branches. But without me, you're nothing. Without him, there's not going to be any fruit bearing. But yet he doesn't bear the fruit directly. He bears it through the branch. The life of the vine flows out into the branch. Oh my. The life of the vine, he said, energizes the branch and it brings forth the fruit. Therefore, Jesus has no lips tonight on earth but mine and yours, he says. He has no eyes but mine and yours. He has no hands but mine and yours. He energizes us. And we bring forth his life as he brings it through us, whether it's preaching the gospel by lip or it's seeing vision by eye, whether it's whatever it is, laying hands on the sick, whatever it is, it's Christ working through the branches of his church, every office literally electrified by his presence. Amen. Oh, that's my desire tonight, church. May we get so electrified by his presence that it would no longer be our thoughts, it would no longer be our idea, it would no longer be our objective or our motive, but it would be the very mind of Jesus Christ electrifying the branches through the vine so that they could go out and do what his will would be. Elisha the prophet, 1956. I see we're running out of time. We'll try to hurry. He says, and as David Duplessis said to me at noon, today at noon, if these lazy Pentecostal people would get up and do something instead of trying to take a ringside seat and watch God do it, the church would be moving on. I think that's right. Get up and move, he says. God's expecting you. You are the branches. Your hands is his hands. Your lips is his lips. Your thoughts is his thoughts. Perseverant, 1963, get away from your thoughts. Think his thoughts, see? Think what he thinks. You say, Brother Branham, I'll go. I think you ain't got no think. You ain't got no thought coming, he says. Right. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Then you'll recognize the word. Oh, Brother Nathan, I think it should be this way. I think you should do this. I think we should do that. I believe this way. I believe we should do it that way. I believe this. I believe that. I think this. I think that. You ain't got no think coming. Don't get offended, neither do I. Oh, Brother Nathan, don't you think we should do this? Don't you think? I think that'd be all right, but I ain't got no think coming. Hey, man, whatever he wants, whatever his thoughts are, that's what I want. Jesus Christ, the same, 1955. You have to move your thoughts. You have to move your thinking and get away from reason and move your thoughts from your own way of thinking to what God thinks. Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. Amen. And then when you begin to think his thoughts, you'll begin to live his life and do the things that he did. See what I mean? Now, because it's not you, it's Christ. Amen. What did St. Paul say? Not I that live, but Christ that lives within me. St. Paul would go and do these things. He would raise the dead. He would heal the sick. He would turn around and curse the woman that she was a demon-possessed girl and the demon leave her. What was it? It wasn't Paul doing that. Right. Paul was just a branch. It was the vine behind Paul that was giving him the quickening power, that was giving him the life, that was energizing him to do the works. Now, in one way, it was Paul's hands. It was Paul's lips. But it wasn't Paul's thought. It was God's thought. Amen. It wasn't Paul's word. It was God's word. Spiritual adoption, 1956. Don't never be self-sufficient. Always rely upon him. Never use your own mind. Take his thoughts. Let his thoughts be your thoughts. And take them into your carnal mind and repeat them over. Say, oh God, take all my doubt away and let my thoughts be your thoughts. And you sick people, do that as we're speaking. Just take away, cast away the thought of sickness. Take God's healing thought. Let them become your thoughts. Amen. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I'm so troubled. I'm so upset. Put those thoughts away. Take his thoughts. Brother Nathan, I live in so much fear. I live under such nervousness, such oppression. I'm worried. What about this? What about that? What about these things on the news? What about all these diseases? Don't take thought to that. He didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of love. Amen. Don't take those thoughts. Those are your thoughts. Maybe you inherited those thoughts. Maybe you're nervous because your granddaddy was nervous. Maybe you're upset because your grandmother was upset. Maybe you worry because of this and that and the other. Maybe it's a gene that you inherited. Those are your thoughts. But move those thoughts away. Right. Move thoughts of sickness and doubt and fear and discouragement and depression. Move those thoughts away and take his thoughts and let the very mind that was in Christ be in you. If Brother Bram said you can't keep those thoughts from coming, he said, but you can keep them from roosting. And if one of those thoughts come to you like they did to Jesus when he was out in the wilderness, and the devil began to witness in his ear and say, oh, why don't you turn these stones into bread? He had the power to do it. He had the power to do it. He said, get behind me, Satan. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And every time Satan would try to place a thought in his mind, he would turn around and contradict that thought that was coming from the enemy with a thought from eternity. Amen. When Satan tries to come and upset you and discourage you and bring thoughts of discouragement and sickness and worry and doubt and fear, you just remind him what the word said.
Amen.
I'm an overcomer. I've already overcome.
Amen.
Amen. I'm already healed. He already paid the price. I'm already saved. He already saved me before the foundation of the world. Satan will lie and try to boast and whisper in your ear, but you just remind him of the word. Don't have his thoughts. Don't even have your own thoughts, but think the thoughts of Christ. Paradox, 1961. Now we realize if this scripture is true, and the God of heaven who could create a squirrel, could create a ram, could stop the sun for a whole day, 24 hours, that could keep fire from burning people in a furnace for 3 hours. Now, I don't know if you knew that it was 3 hours that the Hebrew children was in the fiery furnace or not, but we do now. They could keep fire from burning people in a furnace for 3 hours. He had stopped the mouth of lions, that could raise the dead, could walk on water, could take biscuits and feed 5,000. That's God. That's the word made flesh in human beings. Now, does everybody understand that? He says, now this same God promised that in the last day these things would reoccur again. But he can't do it until there's somebody he can work them with and work on.
Amen.
That's the word made flesh in human beings. That's the word made flesh, he says. But he can't do it. He said, oh, it's been promised for this age. But he can't do it until there's somebody he can work them with and work on. Now, you see what I mean? Now, let's believe that emphatically with all our heart, that it's going to be that way. You mean you've been waiting on God all this time to move, and he's waiting on you to move?
Amen.
You mean you've been waiting on God to work something, and he's just been waiting on somebody he can work it through? He can't do it until there's somebody he can work them and work on. Brother Bram said on the tape I was listening to today, he said, it's not just enough for there to be faith up here. He said, there's got to be faith out there too. Jesus went into a city. He had power to heal everyone in there. But it said, because of their unbelief, he did not many mighty works. Why? There had to be a receiver to accept.
Amen.
You go out here and you step outside and there's radio transmissions going all around. You can pick up Sirius XM, you can pick up FM, AM, whatever that they're, you know, broadcasting over satellite, but you got to have a receiver to pick up what's being transmitted. You don't just go out here and step and say, well, let me see, I'm just going to listen to my favorite radio station. You got to have a receiver to pick it up.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how much the word is being brought forth from here, whether it's an anointed minister, whether it's a tape, whether it's a testimony, whether it's a good song that's going forth that's just building our you know, our courage and our faith and things. If there's not a receiver out here to receive what's going forth, it's just going to drop right here and just hit the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He can't do it until there's somebody he can work them with and work on. You see what I mean? Now let's believe that emphatically with all our heart that it's going to be that way. That it's going to be what way? That he's going to use the body.
Right.
Not only just the body. Let's not just put it out there somewhere on somebody else that somebody else is going to do something. He's going to use your body.
Amen.
He's going to use your hands. He's going to use your lips. He's going to use your feet. Oh my, how's he going to do it, Brother Nathan? He's going to use your feet to pack the gospel to somebody. It might just be in a tract form. It might be in a tape form. It may be in a testimony form of you telling something that happened, how the fire got lit or whatever it would be. He's going to use your hands to pat somebody on the back and encourage him, to lay hands on him and pray for him. He's going to use your lips to speak thoughts of healing, to speak thoughts of joy and peace. He's going to use your thoughts. Maybe it's even just for yourself that you're just confessing with your own lips, I'm healed.
Amen.
I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The tokens applied over my children.
Amen.
You keep speaking those words. Not your thoughts, his thoughts.
Amen.
He can do it.
Yes, sir.
But he's got to have somebody he can work through and work on. Revelation chapter 21 verse 9. If the musicians would come. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who is this that he's showing him?
the body of Jesus Christ on the earth in bride form. He has no lips but our lips, no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet. What is it? In bride form, present tense, on the earth right now. You say, I thought he was in spirit form. He is. He is. But where's that spirit dwelling? Not a million miles away somewhere. Brother Bram, they ask him in questions and answers, who did Jesus pray to in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, who do you pray to? You pray to a God 10 million miles away on a cloud somewhere? He said he was praying to the Holy Ghost on the inside of himself.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad that he still dwells. He still dwells in human flesh. He's still in living tabernacles. We'll look at it next week. Brother Bram said, statue of a perfect man. He said, it's not a building with a big bell on top. He said, that's not the place that God dwells. You know why he's here whenever we come here? Because you bring him with you.
Amen.
Not because the brothers come and paint and make things nice. I appreciate that. I'm glad it looks nice for us. Not because we paved the parking lot. He didn't say, oh my, I'll come tonight because the parking lot sure looks good. I'm glad the parking lot looks good. I feel like there's nothing too good for the bride. We want to make it as nice as we can. But hey, there's a lot of Catholic churches a lot nicer and fancier and gold-plated more than this would ever be. He doesn't come because of the timber. He doesn't come because of the drywall. He comes because the living tabernacles that he's dwelling in brings him here.
Amen.
You bring him with you. What is it? Not a building with a bell on top, he said, but a body hast thou prepared me.
Amen.
A body that God can walk in, God can talk in, God can live in. Living instrumentality.
Amen.
What is it? The bride of Jesus Christ. He said that we would be one. He said, I pray that you be one as me and my Father are one. Christ and his bride are one. Brother Bram said, like a man and a woman. Remember the scripture said, they shall no longer be twain, but of one flesh.
Right.
That's just a type of what it is, the Jesus Christ and his bride. They'll be one. The very thoughts that he thinks, the very words that he wants to speak, the actions that he wants to act, she'll act them out here on earth because she's his physical representation here on earth. You say, oh, I don't know about all this bride stuff, Brother Nathan. I've heard ministers preach about the bride's going to do this and the bride's going to do that. I'll tell you what the bride's going to do. Exactly what God wants her to do.
Amen.
Amen. She's going to do what he wants her to do. She's going to go. Just like you can imagine some of you brothers, it's your birthday and your wife comes in. She knows what your favorite cake is. She doesn't even have to ask you, honey, you want that same old cake again this year? She knows it's your favorite cake, Brother Arnie. And you come out there, she's got the icing on it just the way that you want it. She's got it mixed just the way that you want it. She just got it hot out of the oven. It's still moist just the way that you like it. And she brings it in and sits it there. Why? Because she knows your thoughts. She knows your desires. She's been around you long enough, even your old silly habits and things and the way you throw your socks on the floor instead of throwing them in the hamper and the way you leave the wet towel on the bed and drives her crazy. She knows all these things about you. Because she's a part of you. She's been around you long enough to know you. My uncles give my dad a hard way to go because my mom will just come into the room and just hand him a bowl of ice cream. He didn't ask for it. But she knew. It's about that time of night he's wanting a bowl of ice cream. What is it? His thoughts are becoming her thoughts. Sometimes you sisters, that might be a scary thing. When you begin to know your husband that well that his thoughts become your thoughts. But that's just a drop in the bucket. That's just a small preview of what this bride of Jesus Christ is to him.
Amen.
That when he thinks, oh my, there's one of my children down there that's sick in the hospital. I need to go minister to them. And he lays it on somebody's heart to go and pray for him, go to encourage him. He doesn't have no hands but our hands. He doesn't have no lips but our lips. He's not going to send an angel. He sends individuals. The angel might guide you. The Holy Spirit might guide you. But he's going to send a person. He's going to send a member of the body of Christ. Maybe there's somebody that's sick and in need. Maybe there's somebody that's discouraged. And he just lays it on your heart. You're there on your knees praying. And he impresses somebody on your heart so much. You pick up the phone. And you say, brother, sister, maybe I'm just crazy. But Lord just put you on my heart so bad. They say, you just don't know how much I needed that spiritual boost. What was it? That wasn't you. It wasn't even your thought. But his thoughts are becoming your thoughts. And his words are becoming your words. And his actions, how he would act on earth, He's acting it out through you. Amen. God, help us to be the right kind of body that he can use, that he can move in. Not that we get so focused on arguing with everybody else that we get so distracted from what his thoughts and his words are that he's leading us to do, to be a help to somebody else. That's my desire tonight. God, help me. If you need my hands, Lord, I give you my hands. Brother Branham said, God will use anything you can yield to him. He said Samson could only yield his strength to him. He wouldn't yield his heart. He yielded his heart to Delilah, but he yielded his strength to God. And God said, that's all right. That's all right. I'll use your strength, Samson. But if he could have yielded his heart, if he could have yielded his all, how much more could God have done through him? I don't want to just yield my ears. I don't want to just yield my lips. I want to yield my hands, my feet, whatever, my heart, my mind, my soul, anything he can use. I want to yield it to him that he can work through living instrumentality. Is that your desire tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you see those hands that are lifted up, Father, those that said, Lord, we want to be a living representation of you, Father, here on earth. Lord, that doesn't make us anything, but that makes you everything, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to be the right kind of representatives of your kingdom. Help us to live a life that's worthy of the gospel, a life that you could live in, that it wouldn't be our thoughts, but it'd be your thoughts. It wouldn't be our actions, but it'd be your actions. It would no longer be just our words of senselessness and mindlessness, just idle chatter talk, Father, but it would be your words that would be projected. Lord, that it would be your love that could be projected through us to others. Lord, your prophet said this world out here is dying for love. Help us to express your love to the people. Not a perverted love, but your love, Father. There's so many, they've never really seen a true love. They've seen a lot of fake and a lot of put on. But Lord, help us to express a true love that the world can see. Living instrumentality, Father. Because it's not us that lives, it's Christ that lives within us. We can't take credit for it because it wasn't our thought in the first place. Oh, Father, help us to yield ourselves, our unworthy members, Father. May you take this human clay, Father. Use vessels of clay again. Speak through human lips again. Lord, guide our hands, guide our feet. Help us to be up and about doing, helping, doing something for our brothers and sisters. Doing something to try to get a lost soul saved. Doing something to encourage instead of wasting our time cutting down others and arguing and fussing. Help us to be about doing something that would be an encouragement. Help us to go do something, Father, that would help further the kingdom of God. Lord, your prophet said you're waiting on somebody that you can use. Somebody you can work through and work on. Oh, Father, take us back to the potter's house and mold us and make us into a vessel that you could use, Father. Oh, grant it tonight, Father, is our prayer, Lord. There's so many blemishes and rough spots, Father, but take us back and remold us and make us, Lord, into a vessel that you could use for your glory, that you could use any way that you see fit, Father. Lord, we pray and ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Just hear our prayer tonight, Father, we pray. Oh, let's sing that together.
Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Oh, let it live in me. Let it start.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Oh, live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Let your
worship him tonight. Is that your desire?
Oh, let your
sing it again together. Let your sing this together tonight. Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more sing this together tonight. Number 264. Let's just stand together. The trial of this world was getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. Oh, and I was on the verge of giving. Just wasn't there. Oh, but something keeps holding me. Every day I see. Oh, he's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Something keeps holding me. And then Satan laid before me his temptation.
Oh, it was his desire to steal away my faith. Oh, but I have found in time this revelation. Oh, it was the strength I need to keep me in his grace. His temptation, oh, it was his desire to steal away my faith. Oh, but thank God I have found in time this revelation. Oh, it's the strength I need to keep me in his grace. Faithfully to overcome my trials. Oh, he's guiding me constantly. He keeps giving me victory. Church, he's a reality. Oh, something keeps holding me. Let's sing it again. Oh, something.
It's good.
Play that softly. We had a prayer request come in. It says, please pray for Denny Bennett from West Virginia. He's 43 years old, was diagnosed with rapidly progressing form of MS. Amen. We want to remember this prayer request in prayer tonight before we go. And I hold these other prayer requests in my hand from earlier tonight. Amen. It's because he lives that we can believe that all these things will be made right. May not be the way we think, may not be our thoughts, but his thoughts is what matters. Amen. His will, his desire. That's our desire. Amen. He said he would that we would prosper in health even as our soul prospers. Amen. So we know it's not his desire that any would be sick. We agree together tonight for these things. Maybe you've got sickness in your life. Maybe you've got fear. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's oppression or discouragement or depression. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's something in your marriage. Maybe it's something that Satan's attacked your mind about, tried to lie to you, tried to rob you of a little bit of your joy or your peace. But because he lives, amen, all fear is gone. Because he lives, we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear sickness. Because he lives, by his stripes we're healed. By the shedding of his blood we're saved. Amen. Our sins can be put in the sea of forgetfulness. Why? Because he lives. Amen. Let's agree together for these prayer requests tonight. You just hold on your heart to what you have need of tonight. He's here tonight, a present tense God, to deliver, to heal, to save, to fill whatever you have need of tonight. He's mindful of your needs. Let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, your prophet taught us that when we pray in your name, that's the same as you speaking it yourself. Lord, so as we pray over these prayer requests tonight, Lord, may it not be just the words of a man, may it not just be the thoughts of a man, but Lord, may your healing thoughts be projected, Father, for these prayer requests, for these needs, Father. Lord, help us to move back our thinking and our thoughts, Lord, but may they be thoughts of the Word, thoughts of healing, thoughts of salvation, thoughts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, whatever the need is tonight, Lord, you've heard the requests, but you knew about them before we even made mention of them. Lord, you saw the lifting of the hands for those needs who are on the people's hearts, but you knew the need before they even knew about it, Father. Lord, may you speak to these needs. Lord, we rebuke the enemy that would try to hinder, that would try to cause sickness and fear and doubt. Lord, but we know it's because you live that these things can be moved back from us, that healing can be brought, that peace can be brought, that joy and victory, those things can be projected in our life, Father, not because of us, but because you live tonight. Because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we speak peace. We speak shalom to these requests, Father. Lord, may your Holy Spirit just come in a mighty way and begin to move. Begin to work in the background, Father. Begin to move mountains. Begin to move on the hearts of your people, Father. May you just begin to move in a way that only you can do, Lord. May you go forth, Lord, and may you speak through us, Father, even with groanings that can't be uttered, Lord. May it not be our thoughts or our desires, but may you project through us your will for our lives, Lord. We love you tonight, Father. We accept what you did for us that day on Calvary by faith tonight, believing, Lord, for these requests. It's because he lives.
blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, my Jesus is the name. Oh, my Jesus is the name. Oh, Jesus is the name of the Lord. My Jesus is the name. Oh, Jesus is the name. Oh, Jesus is the name of the Lord. Let's magnify His name. Let's magnify His name. Oh, magnify. You saints, let's sing it as we go. Oh, Jesus is the name. My Jesus is the name. Oh, Jesus is the name.